Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Voice of Indie podcast, show number 47. I am your host tonight, as I am every week, Beam Weeks, and with me is my co-host, Stephen Gies. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
Hey, I am nifty keen. How are you doing?
I can't complain. We kind of hit a cool spell in the weather. We didn't even hit 70 today. So after several days of, you know, upper 80s and 90s, it's kind of a nice break.
Well, it's very nice down here. I've had an aggravating couple of days. We had a submission come into Fresh Ink Group from a name that's just a little bit suspicious. And, you know, he uploaded a manuscript to get a quote on it. And I downloaded it and opened it, and there didn't seem to be anything there. And then a couple hours later, I tried to log into the business PayPal account and got hijacked. And one thing led to another, and stuff was downloading on my machine, and I had to turn it off. And this was my primary work machine. And I jumped in the car and raced to Huntsville to the Best Buy Geek Squad to see if they could stop whatever it was doing. And the car broke down halfway up the mountain going toward Huntsville. Had to have the car put on a thing and brought back to the house. Never made it to the Geek Squad until today. And today I had to give them the computer, and I'm having it wiped, completely wiped. Reinstall Windows 10, all my apps gone, all my files, everything will be gone. And, you know, I always have things backed up, but Fresh Ink Group alone is 20-something terabytes of files. So I use 5 and 10 terabyte Helium drives plus Google Drive, and I'm constantly having to shift the folders around and move things into here and make room over there and stuff like that. So when I have to go hunting for backup files, it's a bit of a task. So I've had a couple of crazy days, and then I had to set up my my backup machine and go access a lot of those files and everything. So I've just been aggravated, and I've got a car in the shop and a computer in the shop, but at least we've got two cool guests on the show today, and we're getting ready to have some fun.
Yeah, well, it just shows you how these hackers, how sophisticated they become. Not only did he hack your computer, he hacked your car.
Yeah.
Exactly. Stopped you from going to see the Geek Squad.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I get these emails all the time, and I don't even open them. Now, I understand this one was a submission. I don't know, maybe you use your security software to scan those. If you don't recognize the name, scan those emails just in case.
Well, my web root scans all files that I open, and it didn't find anything there. This one was sophisticated, that's for sure.
You know, that's part of, you know, I watch these videos on YouTube, and these people, I mean, they up their game every time that, you know, people figure out what they're doing. They add a different wrinkle to it, and the scum of the earth, these people.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So, want to remind listeners that you still got a few days left to get in on Robert G. Willis Croft's Star Child Compact, the first book in his Star Child trilogy, which is part of a 20-book science fiction pack. And if you go to the newsletter that you received this morning, there's a promotion for it in there and a link so that you can get over there. And for $6.99, you can get 20 science fiction novels by great science fiction writers, not to mention Robert G. Willis Croft having one in there. So I encourage you to get over there and check that out.
Yeah, that's a good deal there. Also, My Three Wishes by Kanoi Kay is now available everywhere. This is a memoir that Kanoi wrote about her family. They're in entertainment, Hawaiian entertainment, and it's very interesting, and there are a lot of really cool pictures in there, including some pictures of famous people that she's met. So get out there and check that out.
And Karen Ingalls, who was a previous guest on this show, her book, Learning About Autism, is looking like it's going to be out sometime in the next 3 or 4 days, probably, depending on the last tweaks on the cover art before we get that thing wrapped up. And we need to have Karen back on the show again in a few weeks to talk about that. But it's a very interesting book. We're all excited about it. It's about a woman in Florida who's a friend of Karen's who adopted two boys, one with autism. And she had a lot to deal with in terms of learning how to help him grow and be happy and find the resources in her community, especially education, to help her accomplish that. And it led to founding a charter school and working with a lot of very talented people and coming up with some innovative new ideas. So this is a book that's a heartfelt story, almost memoir style, but it's also full of resources, information, and things like that for people who want to learn how to deal with autistic children. So that's Karen Ingalls' book. We're looking to have that out in the next week or two, and we're very excited about that.
Yeah, and another thing we're excited about is we've got Hall of Fame, Country Music Hall of Famer Mark Herndon and his wife, country music singer Leah Seawright, are going to be on the show. We've got them scheduled for July 28th. For those of you who are fans of the country music band Alabama, Mark spent 28 years playing drums for Alabama and traveled the world with them and was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. He met presidents and just all kinds of really cool stuff. They did award shows and so he's got a lot of really cool stories. His memoir, The High Road, I've read that. Excellent, excellent book. All kinds of really cool stories in there. And they're going to be on July 28th. So mark your calendars and you're going to want to be there. If you're a fan of Alabama or if you're just a country music fan or just a music fan, be sure to call in if you've got questions or comments.
Or if you hate music, you can call in and say, what are you people all about? I don't understand this.
Yeah, this music stuff, it's crazy. This is never going to last.
Now, we did make a very fun video for Mark's book, The High Road, which you can find over on YouTube. So go look for that. Make sure you like it and spread the word. Now, last week we talked about giving away a book. And we said my collection of short stories comes this time to float that I would give a nice dust jacketed hardcover version and even inscribed and autographed if you want to a random person who called in during the show last week, who posted a tweet using the hashtag Fresh Ink Group about the show, or who went over to the Comes This Time to Float video on YouTube and posted a comment. Now, I'm disappointed to see that there were no comments posted on the video, but we did have a good number of people who made contact during the show. So we're not going to give away one book. We're going to give away two books to a couple of the stalwarts who seem to be here just about every week supporting us. And that's for Wayne Greenhoe and Robert G. Willis Croft. So both of you are going to get a hardcover copy of my book in the mail. And if you want me to inscribe it to somebody else so you can re-gift it, make sure you let me know.
Yeah. Just a reminder that children's author B.A. Johnson, she wrote Sassy Discovers the AME Church. She's got a new website, and she would appreciate some traffic over there. That's B.A. Johnson Sassy 1. That's the number 1. GoDaddySites.com. That's a mouthful. B.A. Johnson Sassy 1.
B.A. Johnson
what?
Sassy 1. Why don't you tell them about Tammy Trover's site, too?
Yeah, Tammy Trover, she is a cancer survivor, and she wrote a book for children who are going through cancer. It's the ABCs of cancer, or ABCs
surviving
of surviving cancer. And she's got a website as well, TammyTrover.com. She's got all kinds of interesting stuff over there, and if you know somebody who has a child that's going through cancer or somebody that's, you know, an adult going through cancer, you know, it's a book that it teaches. There's some lessons to be learned, and it also uplifts and gives you hope and strength and whatnot. So go visit TammyTrover.com, T-R-O-V-E-R.
Now, the book features Cornelius the Cancer-Fighting Crocodile, and it's each of the entries in it is based on a letter of the alphabet, And it's a poem, like a 16 to 20 stanza poem, which is written to explain different aspects of cancer, surviving it, the treatments, the process, losing your hair and whatnot. So it is aimed at people of all ages and, you know, particularly families, like if there's a child in the family that's going through this. And Tammy really had in mind that she liked the idea of like the classmates of a student who's going through something like that to share a book like that so that they can understand, you know, why is Timmy coming to school with all of his hair gone now? Or what is it that Cindy is going through when she talks about having to leave early and go for her treatments or whatever? So it's a very important book. And Tammy even got some cancer clinics and others to sponsor the book, too, in exchange for putting ads in the back of the book, which is a very nice touch. So we highly recommend that. And we're going to give away another book this week. This time, it's going to be a paperback copy of Dr. Helen Burrell's American Agony, the Opioid War on Patients in Pain. And Dr. Helen's thesis in that is that the backlash against trying to get rid of overprescribing opioids and trying to cut down on abuse and people getting addicted has gone too far the other direction. People are being denied the meds that they need. They're being cut off for meds that they've spent years depending on, and that it's leading to a lot of suicides and other problems as well. So it's a very important book. It's one of our bestsellers. It's moving very well. And we're going to give away a copy to somebody who calls in today or to somebody who posts a tweet with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in it. If you'll go to YouTube and find the American Agony video, post a comment on there. And we will look very favorably at people who go over there and post comments because we're trying to get a little bit of traffic over to the website as well. So, American Agony, earn your copy now. Now,
all right.
Before we get into today's guest, Beam, you want to roll the thing telling people how to contact us?
Yeah.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Boom. There you go.
Boom.
Okay. So tonight we have two guests. And so that means two bios. And I'll read the first one. Stephanie Collins is a mom of four and an author and a true medical drama, unconventional love story, the memoir With Angel's Wings. Much to her surprise, she had written therapeutically as she was introduced to the challenging world of special needs parenting. After more than a decade of encouragement to share her story, she finally closed her eyes, held her breath, and put her truth out there for the world to judge. She is continuously shocked, amazed, and incredibly relieved at the warm, supportive response she has received from readers over the years. In response to requests for a second book, she penned monthly blog posts for years that spoke to even more surprises and truths she has discovered along her way. Diagnoses Stephanie has become intimately familiar with and has written about include autism, developmental delay, ADHD, dyslexia, and cancer.
Boy, the big stuff. And then our other guest today joining us is Ellie Collins, Stephanie's daughter. And Ellie wrote her debut novel, Daisy Bold and Beautiful, when she was turning 11 and just beginning sixth grade. She finished writing Miley in the Mirror, the second in her multi-award-winning middle grade Greek mythology fantasy series, before heading back to school for seventh grade and turning 12, and Mad Max and Sweet Sarah before eighth grade and becoming a teen. Her love of Greek mythology inspired her writing, and she wrote amid a very busy extracurricular schedule, including a spot on both a gymnastics team and a trampoline and tumbling team, as well as taking weekly piano lessons. Boy, she doesn't have time to get in trouble, does she? She's an avid gamer who loves hanging out with friends. She has more stories she looks forward to writing, but right now her focus is on visual art and animation. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's awesome being here. Yeah. Thank you.
Hi. We hear you back there, Ellie.
Hi.
So where are you from? Let's start it off there.
Washington. Kirkland, Washington, just outside of Seattle.
Yeah.
That's like right across the water from Seattle, right?
Exactly, right across Lake Washington.
Yeah, I'll bet that's a pretty view.
Gorgeous.
Now,
yes.
Are you lifelong Kirkland residents, or have you lived elsewhere?
I've been here my entire life, but my mom grew up in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, we won't hold that against her.
Started out in New Hampshire. I spent some time in Virginia and Kentucky as well, but mostly New Hampshire.
Wow.
So how did you wind up in Kirkland?
Video games. My husband wanted to make video games, and there wasn't a whole lot of that happening in New Hampshire. So he came out here and went to DigiPen, which is a college for video game making. And now he works for Xbox, making the game Forza Motorsport in Turn 10 Studios.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Boy, Ellie will be bringing teenage boys home, and it won't necessarily be for her. It'll be to meet your husband and see what's coming on the Xbox chip pretty soon. So, you two have goats?
Oh, yeah. They're great. Marco and Polo.
Marco and Polo. Great name.
So, why goats?
Why not?
Okay.
They're a lot of fun. They're Nigerian dwarf goats, and so we have a decent-sized backyard and that we knew would be able to support them. And one interesting fact that I didn't know about Washington before we moved out here is that blackberry bushes grow as weeds. They just grow over everything if they're not kept in check. And so we have one area of the yard that was getting a little bit out of control, and I didn't want the neighbors yelling at us for too many blackberries. So the goats are definitely helping with that problem.
Now, these aren't the kind of goats that if they get startled, they freeze up and tip over?
Nope.
This goat.
The stun goats.
Right. No, these are the kind of goats that yell at you until you give them attention and then climb all over you.
Yeah, every
but
time I've been around goats, they have this uncanny way of just climbing right up on top of you. They'll sit up on top of your head if you let them.
Yeah.
So, Ellie, Ellie, have you been a reader for most of your, 14 now?
I'm not much of a reader. I will read books and get into them if I start them, but the hard part is starting them.
Ah, yeah, because
that makes sense.
I get it. That's interesting. That's pretty interesting that you're not much of a reader, but you're a writer. Most writers are readers. Now, having worked on your audiobooks, you're a good writer. You're a fantastic writer, and you tell a good story. So that's kind of a surprise that you're not much of a reader.
Yeah. She has a really active imagination. And actually, when Ellie mentioned that getting started into a book is her biggest challenge, that played into how she insisted she start off all her books. Do you want to say what was important?
Nagging.
Right, a dramatic dramatic beginning.
Yeah.
Man.
So, Stephanie, you're a reader. What kinds of stuff do you like to read?
She reads so much.
Ellie.
Wow, Ellie's ratting you out. A closet reader.
Well, I have a relatively busy life, and so I like to escape. And so mostly romance, fantasy, paranormal, it's fun stuff to escape in.
Cool.
All sorts of like happily ever after type stories.
Oh, okay.
Happily
you and me
after.
Both.
Yeah.
Now, back to Ellie. When did you start writing?
I started writing in about sixth grade, correct?
Yep. It was the summer between the summer between fifth grade and sixth grade. So just before you start sixth grade.
Books were the first things that you ever wrote.
Correct.
Yes.
Wow.
That's pretty cool because I wrote a lot of stuff over the years that I wouldn't have dreamed of publishing, and it took me till, you know, many, many years into my life that I wrote something that, all right, let's try to get this published. You came out of the box swinging.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, it happened, you know.
What about you, Stephanie? When did you start writing?
I wrote therapeutically. So when my second daughter was born, when she was 2 weeks old, we realized that she was very sick, and it was a crazy, crazy time. My ex-husband, her father, was a Marine, and he was over off the coast of Saudi Arabia when she was born, and I had my oldest daughter, Catherine, who was three at the time. And so I was just, you know, in the intensive care nursery for weeks at a time, and I just wrote therapeutically to try to kind of get through all that. And, yeah, that was the extent of my writing, just trying to stay sane.
Yeah, I can see where that would come into back when I was younger, some of my early writings were just journals, and it was just, you know, especially during my teenage years, the teenage angst and just trying to cope with day-to-day, you know, functioning, I turned to my journal, you know, and I wrote for years in journals, but I don't know whatever happened to them, and it's too bad because there was some interesting stuff in there.
Well, when we had nurses and therapists who came into the home a lot for both of the girls. So Catherine has high-functioning autism with mild to moderate developmental delay, and then Sarah has a rare genetic disorder. So there were lots of reasons for nurses and therapists to come into the home a lot. And so they saw what I had written, you know, just laying on the coffee table or whatever. And I'm not a super private person, so I welcomed them to read it. And it was them encouraging me over the years that finally made me decide to go ahead and share it.
That's cool. I don't believe things are just coincidental. I believe, you know, that might have been part of a greater plan for you. That kind of encouragement.
Yeah, I was really hesitant because, you know, I never really meant it for the wider world, and so I was just super truthful about everything. I had no reason to lie, and I was nervous that people would judge me because most of the books I'd seen out there about parenting kids with special needs, it was a very positive spin on everything, just about how, you know, this is my little angel that I would never change anything about, and our lives are perfect, and that was not at all my experience. And so I was just worried about the backlash. And I think you're right, Beam. I think it was just meant to be because one of the first people who reached out to me after reading it was a parent. She was over on the East Coast, and she had a son who was a toddler at the time and with the same diagnosis as Sarah. And she said that before reading my book, she never would have guessed that anyone could understand where she's coming from, could never relate to her. And after reading my book, she gave copies to her family, hoping that if they could understand me in the pages, that they would be able to understand her better, what she was struggling through. And that made it all worth it right there.
Yeah,
I people appreciate honesty like that because, like you said, I mean, now she realizes she's not alone in this, and they're, you know, people appreciate honesty. They don't want something that's sugar-coated, even if it's, you know, raw. Honesty is always, it's eye-opening.
Yeah.
Honesty is the best policy.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it can lead to having a best-selling book like Stephanie's book. With angel's wings. So, Beam, we've got a bunch of comments over on Twitter.
I see that.
We got Verwayne Greenhost said, ouch, sorry to hear it, Stephen G's, followed by Robert Willis Croft with a crying face. Yeah, I felt it. And then Willis Croft corrected my price. I think I said $6.99. It's $7.99 for the 20 books. Well, that's a deal killer right there. An extra buck.
An extra dollar?
Yeah, that's terrific. And then we've got Dr. Helen Burrell says, hi, Steph and Ellie. People can read my review of an Ellie book at bookbitesbyburrell.home.blog. Pitching that
an
blog.
Ellie
I
book.
Love it. Yeah, an Ellie book. Ellie Collins is Miley in the Mirror, Self-Reflections with a Mythical Mentor, a Helen Burrell MFA PhD review. A teenage triumph of a writer is firmly planted in our literary midst. Wow, very nice words from Dr. Helen. And then, Beam, you want to pick it up with Verwayne's next comment?
Yeah, Verwayne and Robert G. Willis Croft both are sending thank yous. Verwayne says, hooray, thank you. And Robert says, thank you for the books being the winners of the freebie book giveaway. Patricia Guthrie, author Patricia Guthrie, she says, what a talented family, talking about the Collinses, our guests tonight. And Karen Ingalls, author Karen Ingalls, she says, so good to hear your voice, Stephanie. And Ellie, you are a talented writer, which is amazing at such a young age. Good to connect with you both on hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
So, Stephanie, where did you go to school? What did you study?
So I went to Plymouth State College in New Hampshire. It's now known as Plymouth State University. It's part of the university system. And I studied psychology, which was great fun to study, but didn't really get me anywhere. And after having Sarah, special needs kids, the divorce rate for families with special needs kids is higher, and so we definitely fell into that statistic. My first marriage fell apart almost immediately after her. So then I was a single mom of two special needs kids, and I had to come up with something quick that I could do anywhere and at any time. And as I was sitting there, you know, hour after hour, day after day in the hospital, I thought, well, I feel like I could do this. So I did a 2-year nursing program. And once we moved out here to Washington, I was at Seattle Children's Hospital for about 10 years.
Wow, what a terrific learning opportunity working in the hospital like that. And then how about
it's
you,
amazing.
Ellie? Yeah, we don't want to know what you majored in college yet, but what is it that you like about school or don't like about school? What's the best and worst of going to school?
Well, my favorite part about going to school, my favorite class right now is probably Spanish and history because I like learning about history and, like, all the mistakes people have made in the past so I can learn from them.
Yeah.
Which probably speaks to why you like Greek mythology so much.
Yeah. Have you studied Greek mythology in school at all, or is this all on your own?
It was mostly my own choice. I think I heard like one myth, and I asked my mom about it, and she told me she had some books, some myths in it, and she gave it to me, and I started reading up on it.
Okay. Now, we heard you mention Catherine and Sarah, and of course, Ellie, and you've mentioned Will. Is this the whole family?
It is. Yep. That's the four kids, Catherine, Sarah, Will, and Ellie. And Will is 18 now, and he just graduated high school about a week or two ago. So, yeah.
Go,
we're
Will.
Really proud of him.
Go, congratulations.
Right. Congratulations,
yes.
Will. Yeah.
It was a hard graduation.
Yeah. Mom made a great video about Will growing up that's on Facebook right now, and I really enjoyed watching that. So
cool.
Your husband, what's his name?
His name is Matt. That's right. That's where I think that Matt is where Ellie gets pretty much all of her talent. Certainly the athletic ability for gymnastics, but also the imagination and artistic. People talk about Ellie as a writer, and I think she's clearly proven that she can write and write well. But I think that her best attribute is her very active imagination. And she gets that from Matt, along with all the rest of their artistic talent. So when I said that he makes video games, he does the artistic side, not the programming side. So he recreates the tracks that the cars are on, and the cars themselves, and the backgrounds, and the people, and all that stuff. And Ellie has taken right off in his footsteps with her amazing artistic abilities,
and I do my best.
Yes, you do. And that played a part in the books too, because Ellie, you want to talk about how Dad helped you out?
Dad did my covers.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of what he's done. That sounds weird. I'm really happy with the work he has done to make my covers look decent.
Oh, they look better than decent. They look fantastic.
Yeah, those are great covers.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, he did an excellent
really
job on
out.
Those. And speaking of talent, the first commercial we're going to play was made by Ellie, voiced by Ellie. Yeah, even animated by Ellie. So you're going to hear the audio right now, but you got to make your point to get over there and watch the actual video, too, on YouTube.
Yeah, and after the commercial, we've got a caller lined up, so we'll hit the phone lines.
All right.
Hi, I'm DJ. My dad and I just moved to Kirkland, Washington. It's different here than my old home. I'm still getting used to it. I'm totally freaked out about starting at my new middle school. I'm super nervous about making new friends, but score, I make 3 fast new besties. Life is awesome. Except for one itsy-bitsy little wrinkle. All 3 of my friends are serious hardcore gamers, like they live for video games. And me, I don't even own an Xbox. I'm such a dork. I'd much rather be out in my garden growing beautiful plants and flowers. But there's no way I could tell my friends that, right? They'd leave me and I'd be all alone again. Do I just keep my mouth shut and try to like video games, or do I take a chance of losing my new friends? And who is this amazingly beautiful person named Persephone? Can she help me? A crazy kid named Ellie wrote down my story. Then a man named Stephen Gies and the rest of the supportive team at Fresh Ink Group helped to make Ellie and her book all legit and professional. No? Yeah. Look how beautiful Persephone is on the cover. Read it to find out what I decide to do, how I decide to do it, and what super complicated high-five handshake thingy I learn along the way. Happy reading.
Yeah, get over there to YouTube and check out the video so you can see how that turned out.
And like it.
Hit that thumbs up. All right, we're going to go to the phones because we've got a caller. So we'll find out who this is. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller. Area code 425-205. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Noah, and I'm calling from Bothell, Seattle, Washington. So,
welcome to the show,
hi, Noah.
I'm one of, thank you. I'm one of Ellie's friends, and so I'm really nervous. It's my first time ever
That's
doing
okay.
this.
You're among friends.
Yes, yes. Well, I feel really bad hearing about your card and your computer.
Oh,
so,
thanks.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, I know who to blame now. So how long have you known Ellie?
Actually, less than a year. We went to school together in ninth grade, and I feel kind of bad for switching schools now. So, yeah. I mean, we live fairly close together, so we kind of hang out sometimes.
Have you thought up a question for Ellie or her mom? Or is...
Yes. When do you think your next book's going to come out?
Ooh.
That's a good question. I do have an entire storyline, and I know exactly what I want to have for my next book. I just need to start writing it. So it really depends how long that process takes me and the editing process.
That always ends up taking longer than you anticipate. Once you have the story down, you imagine it's just going to be published magically the next week, and it takes significantly longer.
Yeah. So, Noah, have you read any of the stories?
Not yet, but I'm planning to a little bit later.
What are you waiting for, man?
If you play your cards right, you might get some autographs in your books.
I should. You know, I totally should.
Yeah, you should. Because someday when she wins the Pulitzer, you can wave your book around and say, this was signed when she was 14. And people will flock around you and offer you money for that.
All right. I will do.
Well, thanks for calling in, Noah.
Thanks for calling,
no problem.
Noah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Let's go over here and take a look at Twitter. Anything going on here? Yes, we've got Jill Mayer over on Twitter. She said, Ellie, I just looked up your books on Amazon. Your book covers are gorgeous. They sound like a fun break from the frustrating day-to-day real world. I'm getting all three and look forward to reading them. All right.
All right.
Wow.
Made a sale.
Thanks, Jill.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jill.
So, ladies, how do you spend your time? What kind of hobbies and interests do you have besides all of this wonderful stuff we've been hearing about?
Well,
Ellie, you go ahead.
Yeah. I am a gymnast, as my mom mentioned before. I do a lot of art and animating on my free time, and other times I just lay around watching YouTube.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You're also interested in some causes, is that right? Like plastic in the oceans?
Yeah, I don't. Once some dudes just came into my school and started talking about all the plastic and the ocean and a lot of littering and global warming and how it's really affecting us. And it got my heart to like go, this isn't good. There should probably be some more people doing stuff about this. And that's kind of where the base idea of my third book came from.
Hmm. All right.
How about you,
another...
Stephanie?
Well, we'll take that. We have another call here, so just keep that in mind.
Okay.
But
Stephanie, your hobbies, interests, anything that you do besides, you know, trying to be a mother of four and keep the world from getting off its axis?
Right. Well, it doesn't leave me a whole lot of extra time. And so that's the nice thing about reading is you can do it in, you know, 10, 15-minute snippets, and that's okay. But just having the goats, so we have the goats and some chickens and bees also.
Bees?
And so, yes.
Honeybees,
that's,
right?
Yep, and that's Ooh. Matt and Ellie that take care of the honeybees. She's becoming quite the beekeeper.
Cool. I just saw a cool video on TikTok. I think it was TikTok. It was either TikTok or YouTube. And there was these bees that had got on this umbrella, and they were just swarmed there. And the lady was explaining that they were homeless. They had lost their hive, and so she picked through the bees. She was a beekeeper, picked through the bees, and was looking for the queen. They didn't have a queen. So she had an extra queen that she ended up sharing with them. And they started a whole new hive out of that. And it was just like, I didn't know that when bees swarm like that onto one object, it's because they've lost their colony. And that was kind of an interesting thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bees are built like very interesting. They have an entire way of doing things, and every little thing has a reason. Also, all the girls do the work, which I absolutely love.
Okay, if everything they do has a reason, why do they sting me half the time when I'm out there mowing my lawn? What's the reasoning there?
When you're mowing the lawn, you're making a lot of noise, and they see you as a threat.
Okay. I've been stung a few times out there mowing the lawn.
So we have a caller?
We have a caller, so let's go ahead and take this call. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. What is your name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
My name is Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
I'm calling from Wilson, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Welcome to the show.
This is New Hampshire. Yes, hi. I have a question for Ellie. I was just wondering, so are you going to move forward with the path on your books, or are you going to go a different direction?
I'm going to keep writing my books, mythical Greek mythology. And I want them to follow around the same storyline. And I do have an idea if I get through all of the major Greek gods. And I have an idea for my final book. That's only if I get to that point. I might lose interest, but for now, I'm just going to have fun with it.
Perfect. That sounds perfect.
Now, your characters get older in each of those books. Would you keep getting older with the people that you write about? Or would you stick with teenagers?
Well, I think I want different age groups. I want a lot of different kind of people, like from male, female, different races, body types. And I just want every person to feel like if they read my books, they have somebody that they can connect to.
Cool.
Perfect. I think that's awesome.
Do you have anything else, Jessica?
Ellie. No, that was it. Thank you so much, Ellie.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Jessica.
Thanks for calling, Jessica.
Thank you,
Dan. So, Beam, you want to play another commercial?
Why
this
not?
This one would be for Ellie's Greek mythology series.
All right.
Hey, young adults. I'm author Ellie Collins. Check out my first three novels in my mythology series where Greek goddesses help us teens resolve problems from bullying to relationships. Now in print, digital, or audiobook. With music and sound effects. Book one is Daisy Bold and Beautiful.
After a moment or two of silence, laughter filled the room, and students quickly began comparing notes on who had read the directions and who had fallen for the trick. DJ shared a smile with Hudson, as they both belonged to the Figured It Out group.
Book two is Miley in the Mirror.
Sam shot a cocky grin in Miley's direction. She didn't want him getting the idea she was fangirling on him or anything, and run the risk of future game invitations.
Mad Max and Sweet Sarah is the new third book, so we're still producing the audiobook version. Go to freshinkgroup.com or your favorite retailer to learn more and order now.
Yeah, we are on with Stephanie and Ellie Collins. And listeners, if you have questions or comments, feel free to call in at 516-453-9902, 516-453-9902, or leave your comment on Twitter, hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and we'll see it. All right.
So we're getting down to where we need to start talking about these books in a little bit more detail here before we run out of time.
Start moving towards the books.
Yeah, let's start with Stephanie. Stephanie, there's a lot in your book. It's called When Angels Fly, and you know, as you mentioned, it's a memoir, and you know, you really get into the emotional aspects of the things that you've had to deal with. Were there any parts in particular that were the roughest, or that you're the most proud of, or that you recommend to people the most, or anything like that?
There's definitely parts that were difficult to write, to even think about now, you know, just because it just brings up all those old memories. I don't know about specific parts that I'm more proud of or less proud of. It's hard because being a memoir, I also lump it in with how I feel about how I responded to the actual events, you know. But it's really interesting because, of course, you know, when I was just writing therapeutically, I wrote in first person, as you would. My editor felt that it would read better in third person. And plus, we wanted to change the names of everyone because we knew that there would be some people that wouldn't want their actual names in my book. So I went through and changed it into third person, and I was shocked and amazed that that process being very therapeutic, because while I was hard on myself about different things throughout the book, my character's name in the book is Laura, I could empathize with Laura I found myself thinking, well, of course Laura couldn't handle this. She was also dealing with that and that and that, you know. And so that ended up being really therapeutic, that I could feel so much more for her than I could for myself. It was interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And the reaction that you've gotten, you mentioned about one person talking to you about it. You get a lot of feedback. You get letters or notes from people. You get people asking you questions, looking for advice. What kind of fan reaction have you gotten?
I do, yeah. Mostly just people who are thankful that they had something to read that they could relate to. You know, just parenting in general, it's ambivalent. You know what I mean? You love your kids, but oh my gosh, sometimes you just can't handle your kids anymore. And so special needs parenting is just that ramped up even higher. That it's just, in many ways, it's kind of like a love-hate relationship. You know, I love my daughter. She's now 20, Sarah. She's now 25. Do I love the fact that I've changed diapers now for 25 years? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? So, but if you ignore that side of it, if you ignore the parts of it that you're not a fan of, you hold it in and it's just not healthy and it comes out in, you know, really bad ways. And so, but a lot of parents are afraid to voice their frustrations and their disappointments and their, you know, fatigue and all these different things for fear of being judged for feeling that way, you know. And I was shocked and very happy to find out that I didn't get judged nearly as you know, harshly as I thought I would. And instead, it was just a bunch of other parents who said, okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it goes back to, you know, being truthful. a lot of people, yeah, they might say, well, what are you complaining about or whatever, but I would rather hear, you know, it's life, warts and all.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather hear the truth about something, you know, than some PR person writing up that how, you know, wonderful everything is when things are, you know, sometimes falling apart behind the scenes. I would rather hear about that.
Exactly. And it's such a different life, too, that it's, you know, I think that that's one of the reasons why true life stories of life on the battlefield are so popular, is because it's hard to even relate to what they go through because it's so different from the life that you're living. And special needs parenting, it's like a different world. And so if you're not familiar with it, you might not even think about some of the challenging aspects that that happen behind closed doors.
Yeah, and you're always going to connect with somebody because there's always other people that are going through that, and as you've heard from these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another feedback I got a lot was, you know, what happened next. And on my website I have an epilogue 10 years later, just kind of catching everyone up from there. But then after that, people encouraged me to write a follow-up book. And while I didn't have it in me to do that, I did monthly blog posts that are about different subject matters and aspects of parenting and special needs parenting that I've come across over the years. That you can pick any of the blog posts, and it's not it's something that could be useful today, last year, next year, you know, at any time. And those were very therapeutic to write as well.
So when you're giving examples of the things that you experienced, do you comment on them? Do you even get stray as far as into offering some advice to people, or do you just lay out what happened and let people take it from there?
I try not to offer advice unless I'm being asked for advice, just because it's such a personal thing, you know, the whole don't judge unless you've walked a mile in their shoes thing, and what every family goes through is rather unique to that family. And so, I mean, there's some, you know, nuts and bolts type advice that I can offer if, you know, you happen to have a child with a gastrostomy tube, or happen to have a child with seizures, that type of thing. But generally speaking, I just try to be as supportive as I can, listening to what's going on with them.
Yeah. Now, Beam, we got a couple of comments on Twitter. I'll start with Robert Willis Cross, and then you follow up with Verwayne. He says,
okay.
May I suggest, Ellie, that you listen to, quote, dudes who come to your school, unquote, with a critical ear. Things are not always as they appear. I am a scientist with lots of experience in the climate change arena. I have written extensively on Quora. Check it out. And then Verwayne.
And then Verwayne, go ahead.
We went to Hawaii to check it out. Ellie went to do some research in Hawaii and did some snorkeling and stuff. And what did you find, Ellie?
What did I find?
What did you find snorkeling in Hawaii?
In the water. Do you remember talking to the guys about all the different things?
A bunch of trash.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a beautiful trip. It was wonderful.
Okay, the next question.
Oh, yeah. Super cool.
The next question is for Ellie, and it'll kind of segue into talking about her books. Verwayne Greenhoe asks, are you a plotter or a pantser?
A what or a panther?
A plotter.
A plotter.
Or a pantser.
Do you plot your stories as you're writing your books? Do you plot them out ahead of time, or do you just write them off the seat of your pants?
That would be your outline. So that would be a plotter.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you organize your story in advance and know what's going to happen and all that, or do you make it up as you go along?
Okay. So it's kind of both. There are something, I do have some ideas of what I want to do in the future, but it's mostly if I come up with an idea, I kind of add that into that storyline to make sure that I have an idea for the last book and I know what I want for the last book, but in order to get to that area, it's kind of just, I make it up as I go along.
That's kind of like what I do. I outline, you know, here's where we're going to start and here's where we're going to end. And this has got to happen in, you know, various parts of the story. And then I flesh it out. I put meat on the bones. You know, the outline is the skeleton. And then as I'm writing it, hey, this will be a cool idea to put in here instead of doing this. So there might be some changes and things like that.
Yeah, now, Verwayne also responded to Stephanie by saying, having gone through a loss back in 2018, I understand how the grief process works. People don't know what to say to you, so they frequently just say nothing. How true.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ellie, where do your story ideas come from? Where do you get these ideas?
Most of the time I study a Greek god or a goddess, and I, from their major story, or if you think of that Greek god or goddess, what story you think like of, I take that major story and look at the moral of the story that you get from that and think of how that correlates into real life and why they might have created that moral of the story. And I put that into more of a modern situation and go along with it.
So who is the god or goddess in Daisy, Bold, and Beautiful, the first book in your series?
In Daisy, Bold, and Beautiful, it is Persephone.
And what role does Persephone play? How does she help out?
So she is a word of advice to DJ. As DJ is struggling with trying to fit in and knowing what to say and what not to say and to just be real with herself when talking to her friends, Persephone kind of helps her along because Persephone has past memories of what she did in a similar-ish situation where she couldn't be real with herself and kind of hid in the shadows.
So who is the god or goddess in Miley in the Mirror then?
In Miley in the Mirror, it is Aphrodite. And I wanted to show in some of the stories that some gods and goddesses aren't good. Some of them are very flawed, and Aphrodite is one of those. Aphrodite did not give the best advice, but Miley still learned off of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then Mad Max and Sweet Sarah?
Mad Max and Sweet Sarah is Athena. Athena is very smart, and Athena is the major goddess in Athens. And she is mostly known for the goddess of wisdom, but she is also the counterpart of Ares, being wisdom in war. So instead of brute force, like Ares, she is more strategic.
Now, have you heard back from readers? What kind of feedback are you getting?
I'm getting a lot of just, good job, this story is great.
Positive reviews?
Yes, out of my memories.
Awards?
Yes, I have gotten quite a couple of awards for my books.
Yeah, and you've traveled to accept some of those awards, right?
Mm-hmm. I once went to Paris. I once went to Canada.
Wow.
And those are the main ones. Yeah, Paris was fun.
Yeah, I'll bet. If I ever win an award, I'd like to go to Paris. Yeah, there's a video of you accepting an award that I particularly like. I think that's on Facebook.
That was in Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We had a lot of fun in Miami. That was really fun.
I'll bet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. it's been great fun kind of riding on the coattails of my
your famous daughter.
Very talented other daughter, yeah.
Maybe she can help you sell some books.
And with that, the question I'd like to ask, and maybe some other people out there listening might want to know, Stephanie, seeing what Ellie has done writing novels, would you ever consider writing a novel?
Not in a million years. Because I have so much respect and awe for people who can create stories like that. I have zero imagination. My lack of imagination really speaks to the fact that my book is very much a true story, because if it hadn't happened, I wouldn't have been able to imagine it, to write it down. Ellie can just create up these amazing tales, and that's where the majority of her talent is, and so I will just happily sit by and watch it done great instead of trying to muddle my way through it.
Well, that's the nature of the business. If writing fiction was that easy, everybody would be doing it.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah.
Well, Ellie's books, we know, were published by Fresh Ink Group. And Stephanie, your book, When Angels Fly, how was that published?
So there's a small publisher. The company name was A Flair for Writing. Donna Erickson owned the company. She was out of Massachusetts. And she did my editing and the publishing. And she became ill and had to sell her business about a year or two after With Angel's Wings published. And so I got my rights back. And by then, because, of course, when I got into the publishing world, I knew nothing about it. I still don't even consider myself a writer per se, a higher power gifted me, quote unquote, gifted me with a crazy story, and I just jotted it down. And then Donna was a very talented editor to kind of put it all in very readable form. And so because I knew nothing, I wouldn't have even dreamed of trying to be an independent author at that point. But a couple of years in, I felt like I had learned enough that when I got the rights back to the book, I just went ahead and published independently, and that's worked out great.
It has worked out fantastic for you, and I'm glad you mentioned the book title, because I said the wrong title. I said When Angels Fly, which is the Mary Schmidt book that we published, and your book is With Angels' Wings.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. It's a quote from the book. It's a description of a stuffed cow with angels' wings that is kind of at a turning point in the story. And actually, the cover of the book, there's a little bit of a story there that actually includes Ellie, because we decided that we didn't want to do illustration. We wanted real life photo to just help bring home the fact that this was a real story. And so, so we decided to have a baby on a bed, and so we used Ellie's bed. Then Matt, working for Microsoft, just put out a spam email to everyone at Microsoft saying, hey, anybody have a baby we could use for a couple of hours? And so a guy named Mike happened to have one.
Can I also say the stuffed animals were also mine? You took one of my, ponies with wings, cut off the wings, and glued it onto the cow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, see, that kind of childhood trauma is the stuff of novels.
Yeah.
De-wing the Pegasus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the guy who lent the baby ended up becoming a very close friend of Matt's, and so they play video games and hang out and go hiking and so forth together. It ended up working out great for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Is there a possible audiobook of this memoir on the horizon, you think?
I thought about that, and I'm seriously thinking about just having watched the process with Ellie's. I think that that would be fun to take on.
Hmm.
Yeah, audiobooks are really cool because they bring these stories to life for people who, you know, don't want to take the time to pick up the book and read it. They can just listen to the audio files and we do these books and they're so much fun to do, but they're cool to listen to when you're done with them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what about you, Ellie? You've got two audio books now. How does it feel to listen to those and hear professionals telling your story?
Kind of weird at first, just like to hear some other person. It felt, when you're listening to an audiobook, it feels like somebody is reading to you, or it's actually happening, depending on the sound effects in the background. And I kind of had that feeling where somebody was telling me the story that I wrote, and it was so amazing.
Yeah, so
kind
it's
of
a
like
lot
a
like
Hollywood
seeing,
movie.
It's a lot like seeing your first book in print for the first time, too. It makes it kind of real.
Yeah. So, Stephanie, your book, you've won some awards, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Another thing that I was just blown away by and pleasantly surprised with, you know, because when you write a book, and especially if you don't even think of yourself as a writer, you're constantly second guessing, you know, geez, is it any good? Is anyone going to like this? Is anyone going to like this? And so it would win an award. And I'm like, well, that's at least one person who liked it, right? Like,
yeah.
Someone who might even know what they're doing. So that's always been amazing and just, you know, the best kind of warm, fuzzy feedback. It ended up, I got a trip too, actually, that I never would have, I don't think I would have taken this trip otherwise. It sometimes can be challenging to travel just with Sarah at home and so forth. Matt and I took a couple days to go to London, England, for an award ceremony there, and
Ooh.
It was a phenomenal trip.
Wow.
And I can't wait to go back sometime and bring Ellie with us too, because I know that she's gonna love it.
Helen.
London, Paris.
Yeah, life is
right.
Miami.
You were doing something right. Miami.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
were doing something right. Fantastic.
So,
well, congratulations on all the awards.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
So we're looking for advice to authors, since both of you are highly successful writers. You want to start, Stephanie? Do you have any advice to people out there who want to get into writing and publishing, or who already are and need a little reassurance?
I think my main advice would be write from the heart, because, you know, that if it interests you, then it will interest other people too. If you're writing to just kind of get through sections, then that's kind of the experience that the reader is going to have too. So write from the heart, but then definitely get a good editor. I can't emphasize that enough. Editors make it all so much better. And then just be patient, because like I said before, everything ends up taking a lot longer than you expect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And how about you, Ellie? Do you have any advice to young authors?
Oh, yes. Don't let anything stop you. If you have a dream and you want to write something, don't let anything stop you. There's a lot of things that most people would have thought, for me, that would have stopped somebody from writing. Like, for instance, I have dyslexia and ADHD. Also, when I wrote it, I was 12, and a lot of people wouldn't expect somebody with those kind of things to write a book. But here I was. I was determined, and I did it, and I'm really proud of myself for it.
You should be, and you've proven that other people can do this too. That's
mm-hmm.
a good example to set for others. Do you ever have anybody, you know, people your age come up to you and ask you for advice or tell you that they'd like to be a writer?
A couple of times, yes, during author conventions or like any kind of event that I went to, I've had some people come up to me and tell me that they have an idea of writing a book, or just tell me that they're very inspired from me. And it was heartwarming, and I told them to go chase their dreams, because nothing can really stop you if you start it.
Good, good advice.
Good philosophy.
So how do we find you people? How do people get in touch with you, Stephanie, or send a note to Ellie, which, of course, would go through her mom? Where do we find you on social media? What's your blog, website? You on Facebook, Instagram? Where are you out there? What are your handles? How do we track you down?
So the easiest one is Twitter. It's at with Angels Wings, at @W_Angels_Wings. That's for both Ellie and I. You can reach either of us on there. For my book's website is withangelswings.net. And Ellie's website is authorelliecollins.wix? Let me look that up.
I believe it is Wix.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you can pretty much Google Ellie at this point, author Ellie Collins, and just about everything Ellie pops up.
Yeah,
you Google me, Ellie pops up.
But we're also on Facebook, so if you look up author Ellie Collins or Stephanie Collins, you'll find us both there too.
Instagram?
Yes, at author Ellie Collins. She has Instagram as well. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, ladies, this has been a lot of fun. We really appreciate having the opportunity to talk with both of you, learn about your books and your projects. And, of course, we're all proud of both of your accomplishments. But, you know, when you look at what Ellie's done at her age, that's just astounding. And, of course, a lot of that is because she's got the mom that supports her and you know, helps her accomplish her goals, makes the path a little bit more clear and helps her get things done. So again, we appreciate it, and we encourage all of our readers to go check out those videos, all of our listeners, check out those videos. Make sure you hit that thumbs up on the like, and check out Ellie's audiobooks too, especially if you know young people who aren't that much into reading. They might very much like to listen to an audiobook and hear some of Ellie's Greek mythology stories. And then, of course, Stephanie's heartfelt memoir is very touching and very real for people who are facing some challenges with special needs parenting, and for those who aren't, but who want to understand what the people in their community have to deal with sometimes. So, again, thank you for coming, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us. This was great.
Yeah, thank you for taking time out on your Wednesday to join us.
It was an active day. Ellie, just before we came on, we had just gotten back from the orthodontist. Ellie got braces today.
Oh,
braces.
Fun.
Big day.
Yeah.
We'll have to have Noah call in next week and tell us what he thinks of Ellie's braces.
Okay,
so, Beam, how do we win? How do people win a copy of American Agony?
Yeah, listeners, you want to win a free copy of American Agony? Go over to the Fresh Ink Group YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in Fresh Ink Group and leave a comment on the American Agony video, and you will be in the running to win this book. So go get over there and check it out.
Now, if you are not receiving our weekly newsletter, or you know somebody else who's not receiving it and wants to, you can forward them the newsletter that you've already received, because there's several places in there that link to the sign-up form, or you can just go to freshinkgroup.com, and right on the homepage, scroll down near the bottom, and there's a little form that you can fill in there. And you'll get the weekly updates, new videos, new books, announcements about the weekly podcasts, about our giveaways. Who knows what's going to be in there every week? We're as surprised as you are, but make sure you subscribe to that newsletter.
Yeah, and if you miss an episode of any of these podcasts, we've got an archive that's got every single one of these episodes in there, And this one will be in there later tonight. So if you miss an episode, go to the websites, beamweeks.com, stephengees.com, freshinkgroup.com. And at all three of those websites, there are podcast tabs. Just hit the podcast tab and every one of the episodes are on there. We are also on YouTube. Again, type in Fresh Ink Group and you'll find our channel. And while you're there, if you haven't subscribed, please take the time and subscribe and hit likes, thumbs up for all the videos that you check out, and help us grow this thing. And we're also on Spotify. Just go to Spotify and type in Voice of Indie, all one word. And hopefully soon we'll be on Pandora as well. So there's all kinds of places. We're everywhere. You can't walk a mile without tripping over us 10 times.
It's like Googling Ellie Collins. It's just pages and pages of results. So, when you get over there and check out that YouTube channel, again, please subscribe. We've had 3 straight weeks now of watching that number not go up. 3 straight weeks. And I was in tears today. It was just heartbreaking. It was all I could deal with. I was thinking of writing a memoir about having to deal with the lack of subscriber activity. So, spread the word. Get over there. Besides those thumbs up, hit that subscribe button.
Yeah,
so who we got next week, Theme?
Next week we have author D.L. Finn. She is a tremendously talented author, and she writes some short stories and some long stories and just a lot of really cool stuff. So tune in next week and have your questions and comments ready. And we invite you to call in. So D.L. Finn next week.
Yeah, thanks to all our callers. Thanks to the people who posted comments on Twitter. And thank you, Stephanie, for joining us today. And thank you, Ellie.
Thanks again. This was awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, ladies.
Right. See you next week, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
You've been a part of Voice of Indie, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word. Support our guests. Then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.